Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Talk Talks podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Kistner, for the Oxford Center Talks. And today I have a really cool guest. His name is Eric Meldrum, and he's in the Brighton community. He does a lot of things in the Brighton community. And we also, the Oxford Center sponsors their podcast, Brighton, Michigan Happenings, which we're going to kind of talk about. But he's also a realtor. He also, and I hope you're okay with me sharing this, the creator of the Brighton, Michigan Happenings Facebook page.
Oh, cat's out of the bag.
Cat's out of the bag. You're okay with me sharing that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I want to kind of get into his journey of moving to Brighton and kind of what makes him tick. So, Eric, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you, man. This is awesome.
Well, yeah.
We just had you on our podcast, so only fitting that we back-to-back, run it back.
And absolutely. I had a blast. We've been trying to get connected here to do both the podcasts. It just took us a bit, but we got it.
We're here. We're here now.
We are. So the first question, I want to hear a little bit about your story. I remember when we sat down in the Oxford Center several months ago, when we were talking about sponsoring the Brighton, Michigan Happenings podcast, you kind of told me a little bit about your story, that you're not from here. And I'd like you to tell me a little bit about that and then kind of how you segued into starting a huge Facebook page.
Yeah, that was a complete and utter just accident.
Right.
You know, just like, so my wife and I moved here in 2016. We were living in Ann Arbor at the time.
Okay.
And prior to that, we were in California, and my job kind of just bounced us around. We both met in Kalamazoo, in college, stayed there, worked there for a little bit. My job ended up taking me out to California, and then shortly after we moved there, we knew that wasn't a forever move, but in the midst of planning a wedding, getting married, we decided, you know, we wanted to come back to Michigan. Right?
Awesome.
I think it was maybe all the emotions and like the family events that were going on around the wedding, but we knew California wasn't forever, so we landed in Ann Arbor, and I grew up in St. Clair Shores. My wife's from Flint, so we knew if we ever move back, we wanted to be close to those areas.
Right, right.
You know, so we started looking for a house. We found out we were, you know, having our firstborn Mila.
Love it.
And we decided that the apartment in Ann Arbor just wasn't really cutting it anymore. You know, we have this baby now, and we're like, I think we have a lot of stuff that we need to.
Oh man, it's awful, isn't
like,
it?
Like really get rid of. So we decided, okay, well, let's go start looking for a house. It was time. It was that phase of life. And we started looking at Ann Arbor, and I just, you know, I love my real estate career started in Ann Arbor, and I love the real estate. But for us, we don't have an affection for like historic homes.
Sure.
We wanted a little bit more space. You know, we were looking for something that was family oriented. We have a little bit of space, but wasn't an arm and a leg, right? And it was a time, you know, when interest rates were lower, cost was lower, but I was a sole income provider, you know, for us. So we started looking outside of the Ann Arbor area, and we slowly just kind of landed a little bit further and further in the radius of Ann Arbor until we finally like came across Brighton.
Had you spent much time in Brighton?
Zero.
Before you started looking for a house?
I take that back. I used to come out here when I was in like middle school, early high school.
Don't say skiing.
Yeah, well, it wasn't skiing. It was it was actually Heartland. It wasn't Brighton.
Okay.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time on Long Lake. So my friend Sean had a cottage on Long Lake since like, you know, bulldozed it and their family built, you know, a big nice home out there. And so I'd come out here, but Brighton was like, this was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
This was nowhere near what it is today. So I knew of Brighton, and it's funny because I used to think Brighton was like up north. we were in St. Clair Shores, and we're like, oh, we're going to Heartland. I'm like, oh, okay, we're going up north. And little did I know, I'm going like due west, in Michigan. So I got a kick out of that. But no, didn't spend much time here. Really, didn't spend much time here as an adult either.
Yeah.
You know, we just one day we got in the car and started driving around, and that's something we did with Mila. You know, and when we started driving around, we just landed on Brighton.
Yeah.
You know, so we're like, wow, this is a pretty cool
little
neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. That was when we started our journey up here. I had been to Brighton skiing, you know, when I was a kid and, you know, growing up every so often, you know, go with some friends to Mount Brighton. And I'd never really spent any time, though. And then when we came for therapy, man, I fell in love with this city. It is an awesome little town.
It is an awesome town. And it continues to grow. And it continues, like, I now have this love-hate relationship with with Brighton, just like I think a lot of people do.
Sure.
You know, like we love the small town feel. We love everything about it. But there is growth.
Right.
And that is happening. But it, just to be clear, I'm on the side of growth.
Right.
I'm not this like bitter new residents like, oh, you know,
voting everything down.
Don't grow, you know, Brighton. We love it. And, you know, when we moved here, you asked about the group, like how did that group come about and start? When we moved here, we knew nobody. Like, we didn't know anybody at all. I hadn't even started my real estate business, you know, at that point when we moved here. So I saw a couple of these groups in Ann Arbor and decided, well, there's nothing like this that even exists in Brighton.
Right.
So why don't we just start it?
You know,
so we started it, and I literally told my wife, I'm like, if nothing else, like, let's just go find things to do. Like, let's learn about the city that we're living in.
Sure.
Now. Yeah, because we felt like there was so much happening all the time, but it wasn't curated. Like, we'd go to the Brighton, you know, city website, and there'd be like a few events there. And then we'd see, like, you know, this event pop up on a Facebook feed. And I'm like, okay, like, I know that all these like things are happening, but like, there isn't one central place where people can go like search what's happening.
Right, because they're all different organizations. Most of them don't work with each other.
No.
You know, the Chamber does events, so that we've got the other groups that do the Taste of Brighton. We've got all these different, all the companies do events, you know, leasing downtown Brighton and doing things down there, but no one like communicates to a central thing.
Right. So that was our observation as well.
Yeah.
So we're like, well, might as well just create like a Brighton's Happening. Brighton Happenings, you know, and that's how it came about. Yeah, you know, the name and everything.
Yeah, I love it. And I know that when we talked originally, you said you set it up with some specific regulations or in a certain way so that you thought it would make it a better group, which I agree completely. Talk to me a little bit about some of the parameters you put on that when you started it.
Yeah, well, when we started, to be honest with you, we didn't have any parameters.
Right.
Like, it was a free-for-all in there.
Right.
Like, I didn't know anything about modding a group or admining a group. I didn't know what to expect from a group of community people. I'm just of the opinion that grown adults are going to act like grown adults and be respectful. Social media has since taught me otherwise, that there is a very interesting group of people out there that think they can say whatever they want on a keyboard. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in
it
nowadays.
Is.
So slowly but surely, like it wasn't just one, like a whole set of regulations all at once. It was like, okay, we saw that problem. Let's fix that. Okay, we see this kind of percolating. It's causing a little bit of an issue.
Right.
Let's fix that. So where we are today is, you know, we do police the group pretty heavily, you know, and I've had, you know, since then had to bring in more admins because I like my nights and weekends and I like, you know, the other things that I'm doing with my family. And I can't be in the group 100% of the day.
It'll take over your life.
Yeah, and that's really where it got to. But right now what we do is, you know, we essentially have every post comes through a post approval.
Right.
And we've trained the Facebook algorithm to know what's junk. So there's, for anybody that runs a group, there's an admin assist now, which is like the biggest godsend of group management.
Right.
Is 50% of the posts that come through like automatically get declined.
Right. And that's the, hey, they're hiring at Amazon, work from home,
exactly.
$50 an hour,
air duct cleaning.
Yes.
You know, that type of stuff.
Right.
So, thankfully, all that gets pushed to the side, and then we're left with some of the more, you know, reasonable but also questionable posts that come through. And we really made it a point, like, no advertising in the group.
Right.
Okay. So no self-promotion, no advertising. Be respectful. No bullying.
Right.
You know, no hate speech. Really, like the way I like to say, just act like a normal person.
Right.
Right. And for some people, I think normal is the opposite of that.
Some people, it's tough. You know, it's tough for them.
It's crazy. And I've always used the expression, like, if you wouldn't say this to the person, like you're standing in the grocery store and you're in line and you overheard somebody in front of you say, like, hey, I just went to, you know, the new store downtown Brighton and it was really cool. If you don't like it, would you literally say to that person, like, oh, that store sucks, go F yourself? Like, what?
Right.
Like, that's so out of context, but that happens on social media.
It does.
You know, and it's just the wildest thing. So we put those, you know, guardrails in.
Right.
And
that's a good way to put it. Guardrails. I like that.
We've just put guardrails. I mean, I want the group to flourish on its own, you know, but at some point, like just like our economy, like you need some sort of governance.
Absolutely. Sure.
You know, at the end of the day, you can't just let it be a free for all. We've seen what that's like.
Well, it's like the other groups. They're miserable. They're absolutely miserable. And you can kick me out of groups if you want. They're miserable. The Howell groups, the Milford groups, the other Brighton groups, it's every single day. It just fills your feed with so-and-so looked at me funny in the candy store. Like, it's just awful stuff. And I think the reason that your group has grown so, how many members are you up to?
39,500-ish.
Yeah. Massive. I don't think would ever be that large if you just let it be a free-for-all. I think that's created the success of that group.
Yeah. Well, I think COVID was also one of the biggest growths for our group because people were looking for, you know, news, things to do, what's happening around town. And that's really been, you know, kind of the premise of Brighton Happenings. It's not just events and things. It's like, you know, hey, there was something happening, you know, with a new building and people are like, hey, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? Right. And so it's really just that chatter amongst the community of like keeping up and informed.
Right.
More so of like a city council meeting, right?
Yeah.
But a lot more opinions.
Right, yeah, a lot more opinions.
coming into it. So it's fun, it's a wild, it's sometimes it's like a roller coaster. You got your highs, you got your lows, and as an admin, you know, you can kind of get sucked into that stuff. And you know, I get a lot of direct messages from people that are, you know, really just like this entitlement of like, hey, you know, why didn't my post? And sometimes like I don't even see the post that goes through. It's automatically been declined by Facebook because they view it as spam or junk. And I can't even find it. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But sometimes I feel like it does worse for my real estate business than it should. Like, oh, we're not going to use that guy.
He doesn't let my post through. He's a jerk. He wouldn't let me find where I could groom my dog.
Exactly.
I go to the group because I know you can search the group, which is hugely helpful for me because I know this has been posted at some point. So rather than me creating a new post for a dog groomer or who to cut my hair, you know, I'll just search that group and you find that post with all the different numbers and all the different stuff. Yep. I use it all the time.
I do too. Like that's how I find good plumbers, good carpenters, like anybody in the trades, you know, I'll always be looking in the group first before I go make another post. Right. You know, I occasionally do it, and that's the weirdest thing. Like, you call people nowadays, you can't get anybody to pick up the phone.
Right.
I just blows my mind.
So talk to me about how I know you developed some friendships. I don't know if that was necessarily a result of the group, and you started this podcast called What's Up Brighton, which the Oxford Center sponsors gladly. We absolutely love it, and it's a really cool podcast. You know, if our people have not watched it, he'll tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, we'll check it out. What's Up Brighton on YouTube.
We'll put a link.
Yeah, you can put a link down there. And, you know, we made the podcast kind of similar to as we were talking earlier. It was like, you know, we made a podcast about really nothing but three guys and guests that are coming on that have really developed a friendship and relationship as a part of our community and as a result of the group, right? And as I'm sitting here today, it's the same story, over and over is this group and social media and just being a part of the community has really kind of introduced us, like same way we met.
Right, absolutely.
It was through the group, right? You saw some things that were happening through my feed and the content I was putting out.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, I get friends with him on Facebook. Seems like a person to know.
Right.
Seems pretty reasonable, not crazy. You know, doesn't have one eye.
No face tattoos.
No face tattoos. Stand-up guy. and then, you know, just as you know, we started putting on more content. We just became closer and closer, you know, and then we finally met. So same thing with the co-hosts of What's Up Brighton, you know, Roger Burnett, Mark Howell, you know, and Mark, you know, having you on, like there was so much crossover in the people he helps and the people you guys help. And I was like, wow, I could recommend, you know, so many different people that come into our world into this type of treatment, which was really cool. And that to me, like being able to facilitate that type of relationship and like that's what fuels me.
Absolutely.
Right? On a daily basis, like making the connections.
Right.
So I've just made it a point to like always try to get connected with more people in the community, and the group allows me to basically get in front of whoever and right. whomever, you know, and I'm walking down, not that I'm like a local celebrity or anything, but like I'll walk into any establishment down there and I'll likely know somebody.
Right.
Right. Or, you know, I know the business owners down there, and the group has allowed me to go make those introductions.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, just for my real estate business. It's, hey, we want to help you. Right. How can we help you? Do you need anything? Can you share anything in the group? And I always encouraged, you know, businesses like my buddy Keith Karp from Oh My Lolly. You know, one event that I thought was so cool that we did, I wanted to throw a customer appreciation event, and it was, I knew I wanted to do it downtown somewhere.
Yeah.
And instead of just throwing a customer appreciation event.
These are for like your real estate clients or which customers?
Real estate.
Okay.
Right. But I always wanted to include that into the community and not just limit it to my active clients or people that I've sold to before, because I want to meet new people.
Yeah.
Right. And I always thought that the customer appreciation events for real estate were just kind of, they're good. Right. But why not do that for people that you don't know?
Right.
Right. Like invite all the people you do know.
Sure.
Right. But the whole point is to meet new people
right.
in this business.
Right.
So I always had that mindset going into it. So I utilized the group, right? Made a Family Fun Day event out of it. We hosted the Family Fun Day event, and I partnered with Keith and the owner of Jack's Custard.
Okay.
And said, hey, I want to help you guys. I'm going to throw this event. I'd love for you to be part of it. Why don't we set up shop in Heine Alley there? And Jax, you bring over cotton candy machine, ice cream, right? We'll give tickets out. We'll put these little gift bags together, hand tickets out to go get a free ice cream to come into the shop, and do the same with Oh My Lolly. And that's all it was. We got a Wonder Jump, which is like a carnival game
yeah.
type thing. They set up all these carnival games and the bounce house
right.
in the alley there. We had a DJ come out. We had a couple other sponsors that set up booths out there, and we just made a Family Fun Day event out of it.
It
was like two and a half hours. And Keith says to me after, he goes, Eric, I've sold more candy in these last 2.5 hours than I do all of the Brighton Art Fair weekend.
Wow.
You know, because he's tucked in
yes.
in the back. Like
right.
when you have an event on Main Street,
yeah,
not a lot of people are going into the stores.
No.
Right. And you're at
yes.
every single
event. We go
event,
to every event. Yeah.
Every event, which, you know, people are in the mix. Like right. they're in the alley right there.
And that's why you see a lot of the main stores. If it works, they can pull out into the street. But even not, it doesn't work for everybody by any means.
No. And I had another business owner on Kathleen London. You know, mm-hmm. London Beauty,
mm-hmm.
she said the same thing.
Right.
She was like, we don't even set up a booth, you know,
no.
for a lot of the events anymore, just because, you know, we want to bring people into the store. So we would just be taking up space to like draw people in.
Right.
Right. Because like our beauty products don't do well in the heat.
No.
yeah.
Definitely not.
So it works for some businesses, not for every business. But yeah, it was just things like that, you know, have allowed me to go introduce myself to more business owners and say, hey, how can I help?
Right.
How can we partner together? How can we, you know, collaborate on something? That's how I met Nick at Captains on Main,
mm-hmm.
Hannah from Bourbons, you know, pretty much anybody downtown.
Right. Yeah. We have such an awesome downtown. Like as far as restaurants, things to do, boutiques to shoes to everything, I think it's the best downtown I've ever been to.
Yeah. I mean, it's
and it still has that downtown feel. You know, the buildings are mostly connected. I'd love it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty unique because there's very few downtowns that have that type of landscape
right.
where you have the Mill Pond,
mm-hmm.
an amphitheater, like a park
right.
for the kids, Main Street, and then actually like the neighborhoods
right.
surrounding.
Yeah.
You know, Plymouth is pretty close. They have Kellogg Park. You know, right in the middle, lots of shopping, lots of restaurants. But even then, you don't feel like the quaintness. I feel like
right.
Plymouth's a little bit bigger, a little bit more expected to be
sure.
crowded all the
yeah.
time. And Brighton's just got that, I think, balance of charm. And we'll see what goes here in the next, like,
right.
you know, 5 years. It's changing, but right now we're holding on to it.
That's good. So talk to me a little bit about your real estate business. I've been following you obviously for a couple of years now. We've been at least friends on Facebook. I think I requested you because you seem like a cool guy, and I didn't even know who you were. But one thing I've noticed, and which I'd like to talk about, is I've seen, because you put out a lot of content about the houses that you sell. And sometimes I'll see this gorgeous, magnificent house that would be a dream of anybody's. And then there's, you know, some 1,200 square foot, you know, all little brick ranch. And I think that for me, you know, someone that, you know, would purchase homes and things like that, that's big for me. To have the kind of the experience to be able to sell something that's $1 million, but also $200,000. So talk to me a little bit about, it's kind of a little testimony, I've not bought a house from you, but how you got into real estate and where you took it from there.
Yeah.
And maybe how you're different.
Yeah, well, I mean, I started my real estate business while I was still working full time.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I think that's the thing that really kind of like, it's probably not a dissimilar story from a lot of agents that I've talked to over the years. Like, you know, people are, you know, trying to figure out like how to make it in real estate. There's 87% failure rate.
Right.
Right. In real estate. So
is it just oversaturation, or is it a personality, or just a tough field? Why do you think
that is? I think it's a really tough field. I mean, you're an entrepreneur at the end of the day.
Right.
You know, when you go and get licensed, which a lot of people really don't realize, is like you can go get licensed and that license teaches you nothing
right.
about how to be a real estate agent or how to run a real estate business for that matter. You know, so I always had the business sense, you know, from my previous, you know, role as supply chain you know, director. And I saw multiple facets, just operations. And I knew operations is always the backbone of any company.
Right.
Right. So when I jumped into real estate, I focused on systems, processes, right? How do I do repeatable things that I know are going to be consistent and I have a process for.
Yeah.
So when I first got in, I was faced with, well, who am I going to basically serve? Because we moved to Brighton. I don't know anybody. It's not like I'm selling real estate in the town that I grew up in where I can, you know, post like, hey, friends and people I've known for the past, like, you know, 30 years, like I'm in real estate now.
Right.
You know, I didn't know anybody. So I had to figure out a whole new audience.
Right.
How am I going to connect with people? And back in 2018, money was cheaper.
Yep.
And what was also really prevalent was the real estate market wasn't as competitive.
Yeah. Right?
It was starting to get a little bit more competitive in 2018-19, but
from like a supply and demand or from an agent perspective?
From a supply and demand.
Okay.
Right? It was kind of more of like an equal market. You were kind of more in like a buyer's market.
Got it.
You know, back then. And I just went knee deep into running Facebook ads.
Yeah.
And I was promoting MISHTA, which is a government program to help with down payment assistance for first-time home buyers. They give you $10,000 as a grant. And I literally ran an ad that said, buy a home, $0 out of pocket, right? And like five different variations of that same hook. And I would just generate leads. Like I was generating 30 to 40 leads every week. And I would literally put them on automation, email, text message, and then I would call the ones. I'd call everybody, and I would cherry pick the ones that picked up. Right? I'd leave everybody else on the drips. I ended up doing like $3 million in my first year just from that alone.
That's great.
Right? And I was still working full time. So I kept building my business that way, and I knew that was what really set me apart, you know, from most agents is understanding how to market.
Right. Absolutely.
Marketing was the backbone of my business at that point. You know, and I didn't even have a lot of experience in real estate.
Right.
Right.
Were you like doing showings at night, or were you working nights doing showings during the day?
All hours. I was lucky enough to have a work from home position.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, wake up in the morning, get some of my client meetings done. I would go, you know, show a house. I would come back, afternoon appointments, set some people up on, you know, some home searches, make a few phone calls. You know, just interweaving pretty much everything.
Right.
At that time, I felt like back then I was a lot more organized than I am today.
We had a lot more going on.
Just because I had to be. But no, it was, I think that was really the thing that really set me up for success is really diving into the marketing side of the business. And that's where I've stayed, you know, to your point, like, you know, forward facing, like people got to know you're in real estate.
They absolutely do.
Yeah, you know, they have to know also that you're not just in real estate, that you're a dad, a husband, somebody in the community, right? And that's what I try to showcase through my content is it's more than just selling houses,
right?
You know, that's the podcast. And I truly, enjoy, you know, talking about the things in our community.
Right.
You know, and that's really one of the reasons why I think, you know, a lot of people who actually end up reaching out to me, like, reach out to you because you seem normal.
They get to know you, even though they're not interacting with you necessarily. You know, you do a short little video on interest rates of the market, or, you know, what happened in February, where things are going, and they get to know you on a personal level, even though you've never met, you know. And it in business in general and marketing in general, it's crazy when I look back, you know, and being in business networking for the most of my professional career, and in marketing, on how things have changed through marketing. If you even just look at real estate, you know, 20 years ago, before social media, it was, you know, well, you got to build up a business referral network. You know, you got to go to networking groups. You have to, which is still important, but you got to get under a broker dealer to where they're giving you leads, and you have to, you know, advertise in the local this and the local that, newspapers and the school things. And how that, when social media entered, and how you could do all of your own marketing online, people can see you, they can talk to you, they can get to know you on social media, and you sold yourself even before you've ever had a conversation.
Yeah, and that's still, all that stuff still exists today.
Sure.
You know, and that, I think that's the overwhelming part about why so many people fail out of real estate, is they don't understand that without leads, you know, and the marketing side of it, and the actual connection with people, like, you know, the best thing you can do, you know, for yourself is pick up the phone and start calling people.
Right.
You don't need any, you don't need a website, you don't need a logo, you don't need really anything. You start picking up the phone and calling people that want to sell their property.
Right.
Right. And then once you start getting some deals going, then you can actually work backwards.
Right.
Like, okay, now I've established, maybe this is important. So real estate agents get into it and they just don't realize, you know, that is, they're focused on the wrong thing.
Right.
Right. Right from the get-go. So we've always focused on that, is just what is the lowest hanging fruit that we need to focus on to make sure we keep getting clients into our business, right? I'm never gonna have a leads problem in my business. That's really the important thing. You can have operation problems, you can have, you know, service problems and time, you know, management problems and all those all those things, but you're gonna have those regardless.
Right.
But if you have consistent leads and revenue coming in, those tend to be a little bit smaller of problems. So we made a shift back in 2020. My partner and I, we operate in Southeast Michigan and the Tampa, Florida market. We decided that at that time we were gonna go all in on YouTube. And really utilize more organic social media than really what we're putting out. Like, we're still putting out a lot of the short form, a lot of the Facebook, Instagram, you know, that type of stuff. TikTok, as TikTok has grown, but YouTube is really a cornerstone of our business. So we put out content about living in the community.
Yeah.
Right. What's it like living in Novi? What's it like living in Brighton, Milford, Dexter, Ann Arbor, all the surrounding areas? And then people from out of state who are relocating here, they find that content.
Right.
And they're like, wow, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Like, can you imagine, like, when you're moving out of state, you literally start with, okay, I'm moving to Detroit, Michigan.
Right.
And that might be somebody that lives in, like, California is like, okay, I'm moving to Detroit. Well, you're not probably not moving to Detroit. Like, you're probably moving to Novi, Farmington Hills, Troy.
Sure.
You know, somewhere in the Metro Detroit area. So we've blanketed, you know, our channel with all these various cities. And we'll do pros and cons, we'll do cost of living, we'll do pretty much anything that we think somebody's searching for online. We do a lot of research on this, and we look at the trends, and we look at, you know, the keywords and what people are searching. And then we try to position the video to exactly that, right? Like, think of it at putting yourself in that situation of like, okay, I'm moving. And you guys kind of did that when you moved from Ohio, right? Like, okay, we're here, right? We just so happen to learn about Brighton a different way. But had you not, you're like, wow, I just got a job opportunity in Brighton. Okay, well, what's it like living in Brighton?
Right. What's there to do?
You start searching and you try to learn about the city that you're moving to online, and we just meet them right where they're at.
Right.
So they find our content, and now some of the calls that we get, like, they're absolutely wild.
Yeah.
Like, in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, people are pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, Eric, Juan, we're moving to Detroit, we're moving to Tampa. We are going to be there in 30 days, and we need a house that is, you know, big enough for the three or four of us. Our budget's $650,000. Here's our social security numbers. Here's our bank statements. What do we need to do?
Right.
And we're like, we've never had that before.
Yeah.
We've never had that level of trust and commitment when we were running Facebook ads, right, for example, because nobody knew us, right?
Right.
We were a phone call to another person who we've never met before.
Right.
They may have signed up for our
form, yeah.
But they didn't know us, right? And
right.
But if you didn't contact them within 5-10 minutes, they probably forgot about you anyways.
Right.
You know, so YouTube has 100% changed, you know, our business, you know, for the better.
Now, well, you've established yourself as like, not the authority, but, you know, the person that can really help. You know, you've made that known through all the social media content. Even your market, I watch your market recaps. What happened last month? What's going to happen? What are your thoughts on that? You know, and you've just established yourself as a content creator that does real estate, and you've built the relationship before it even started.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole purpose of it.
Right.
Like, so you're in marketing, you know, like that is the cornerstone of any good marketing is having that consistency, but also people getting to know, like, and trust you.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, hey, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on here, getting to know you even a little bit more than, you know, what I already did. So
yeah,
thanks for joining us. We'll wrap this up for this episode of Talk Talks. I will put links of everything Eric Meldrin in our description. So it'll have the podcast, it'll have his real estate link. It'll also, I'm sure everyone in Brighton area knows Brighton, Michigan Happenings, but we'll put the Facebook page on there in case you're not already a member on that. So thank you guys for watching. We will see you guys next week.